This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be together in this time of worship, and my joy to welcome all of you who are here in the sanctuary and those who are joining us over live stream. We are grateful to be together through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I would invite all of us who are present to let us know that you're here through registering your attendance. There are registration pads at the end of each row here in the sanctuary, and if you'll sign in and pass those down the row, that would be wonderful. And if you're joining us over live stream, there's a link you can click on to register your attendance that way, and so that we can know that you've been with us this morning. We have several opportunities this week to gather for fun and fellowship, for worship and contemplation, and for ministry. All of those things are listed in your bulletin, but I just want to highlight a couple of things. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, our children and families and anyone else who wants to is welcome to come to the Fourth Story Theater to watch The Grinch Who Stole Christmas at 3 o'clock. Today in Reed Hall, we have our mission market going, and we have 10,000 villages here, and there's information about them and their ministry in the bulletin as well. So if you need some last-minute gifts that have meaning and make a difference in the world, I invite you to spend a few minutes in Reed Hall after the service today. On Tuesday, and this is a date I've been announcing wrong, so my apologies, I just work here. On Tuesday at 6:30 is the service of The Longest Night, and it will be both in person and live stream. This is a beautiful service of prayer and music and contemplation, and I have found it especially meaningful in seasons like this one, when I'm missing loved ones or going through a difficult time in life, to find the comfort in the quiet of the season. So we invite you to come, to invite a friend, to join us in person or online on Tuesday. Our Christmas Eve services are 4 o'clock, which will be especially geared toward children and their families. We're bringing out those Christmas costumes again, and that's going to be a joy to participate in. And then at 10:30 p.m., we'll gather back for our traditional Christmas Eve service, and both services will include communion. And finally, just a reminder that on the Sunday after Christmas, on the 26th, we will have one service of worship at 10 a.m. with no Sunday school. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we get to spend a little time with Mary and to contemplate God's calling on her life and the gifts and blessings that God offered to her on her journey. So let us open our minds and hearts to hear her story once again as we get a little bit closer today to the manger.
Thank you. Our souls magnify the Lord, and our spirits rejoice in God our Savior. God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. Come, for God is doing a new thing.
We light this fourth candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of Christ's peace coming into our world. Hear these words of the prophet Micah. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
The gifts of the Advent season are hope, peace, love, and joy. Let us now make our confessions before God, that by God's grace we might receive these gifts in abundance and in turn share them freely with others. When our spirits despair and we deny how beloved we are, forgive us, O God. When we ignore the mighty things you have done, when we doubt your mercy, forgive us, O God. When we are proud in the thoughts of our hearts, when our power rests on oppression of others, when our wealth causes others to go hungry, forgive us, O God. Help us, your servants, according to the promises you have made. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation in love in whichever ways you are most comfortable. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel, Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt with joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on all the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown great strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he has made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to share a special moment with our children this morning. So if you're here in the sanctuary and want to come join me down here, that would be great. And if you're worshiping from home, you might want to move just a little closer to your screen so we can have a special moment together. Good morning, good morning. Such an exciting time of year. Good morning. Glad to see you guys. Welcome. Now have a seat. Join me up here and welcome those who are worshiping at home. I want to tell you a story about a woman from my former church, the church where I used to be a pastor, and her name was Miss Irene. Miss Irene came to visit the church for the very first time by herself. She had just moved into a new house that was really close to our church, and the church that she'd been going to was way across town, so she wanted to find a new church near her home. And so she came by herself. She was a retired school teacher and didn't know anybody in the church. So she was sitting there in her chair, singing her hymns, and she felt a little pat on her shoulder. And she turned around, and behind her was a little girl named Anna, who was sitting behind her with her family. And Anna just kept patting Miss Irene all through the service. She just kept patting her, just patting her. And so they met each other after the service was over. The next Sunday, Anna and Miss Irene sat next to each other. And they sat next to each other in church for years. And they became very special friends. Miss Irene was Anna's confirmation mentor. And just the other day, I looked on Facebook and saw that Anna just got her driver's license. And the first person who said congratulations in the comments on Facebook was you-know-who, Miss Irene. And that's one of the things I love about church, is that we can be friends with people of all ages, people who are different from us in all sorts of ways. But God gives us friends here in church. Miss Irene needed a friend that day. And Anna needed a new friend that day, and God made it possible through the church. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the very special kinds of friendships that you give us through the church, that we're called together with people of all ages and races and all different kinds of people from different backgrounds and different languages. And we can be friends because of you. And we thank you so much for that blessing. As we remember Miss Irene and Anna, help us to think about Mary and Elizabeth in our Bible lesson today and how very special their friendship was. Thanks to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope you guys make some new friends today at church, and I'm so glad to see you. If you are 3, 4, or 5 years old, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Chapel. And if you're older than that, you can return to your seat with your parents or special friends.
I'm 3.
You're 3? Well, then you can go with Pastor Maggie. She's standing right there in the striped sweater. Many of you know that David and I have a son named Tate, who's a sophomore in college at Furman University. He just got home this past week. It's been really great to have him around, and we've been to the grocery store 3 times since he got home. Drinks a lot of milk these days. A couple of weeks ago, he was still at school studying for exams, we hope, and David's phone rings. We're in the living room, and my phone was across the house. I left it in the bedroom, and so David answers his phone, and we hear Tate's voice say, "Where's Mom?" And of course, my heart dropped into my stomach. I think, oh no, my little boy needs me. What's wrong? So David handed me the phone. I said, "Hey, Tate, what's up?" He said, "Mom, I'm putting you on speakerphone. I have a Bible question. I'm in a debate with a couple of my friends, and we need to know, what animal did Mary ride from Nazareth to Bethlehem?" I was like, "Well, Tate, I'm sorry to say, but the Bible doesn't say." "Are you sure?" So I got out my Bible, which of course was right next to me in the living room, and I opened it up, and Tate, it just says they go to Bethlehem. It doesn't say how they got there. Oh, all right. 2 minutes later, the phone rings again. "What was the terrain like? What if they had ridden an animal, what would..." So obviously they were having a debate, and I said, "Well, if it were anything, it would probably be a donkey." And he was like, "Darn it, I said camel." So I'm glad that my son calls me in these theological emergencies. To tell you the truth, I think there was some theological flirting going on, but that's not mine to say. Anyway, the point is that there are a lot of things about these stories, especially these really familiar stories around Christmas, that leave us with a lot of questions. A lot of things that we think are in the story, but actually aren't. Like, of course, we imagine Mary on a donkey because, or not a camel, on a donkey because that's how she's portrayed in so many pictures. And of course, we think that the shepherds and the magi were there in the manger at the same time, but those stories are actually in 2 different gospels. We don't know the timing of those things. And I know that I have a lot of questions about Mary. We don't really know how old she was, but if she is betrothed at a time when it would have been normal to be betrothed in that culture, she was probably 13 years old. And I want to know more about her and how she was able, with such faith and willingness, to say to God, "Yes, let it be with me according to your word." But I want to know, was she scared? Did she tell her parents right away? When did she tell Joseph? And what was the response in her village? And what was all of that like? We don't really know. We don't get that story. When we find Mary in our scripture reading this morning, she has just said yes to the angel Gabriel. She has just uttered those words, "Let it be with me according to your word." And the very next thing that happens is that she goes with haste to the hill country of Judea to visit her relative Elizabeth. Why? I want to know why she goes. Why does she go with haste? Does she go because she's scared? Has she told her parents that she is now bearing a child through the power of the Holy Spirit and they didn't believe her and they rejected her? We don't know. Did she tell Joseph and did he dismiss her in that moment? We don't know. Maybe she hasn't told anybody yet. Is she afraid? Is she anxious? Or is there something else going on? I wonder, and of course we don't know, but I wonder if she makes that speedy journey to her relative Elizabeth because of what the angel Gabriel said. Gabriel said to her, "You will conceive and bear a son. And what's more, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived and is carrying a son who will be the prophet to prepare the way for your child, the Messiah." And she was said to be beyond childbearing years. There's nothing impossible with God. Maybe it is the Holy Spirit that is pushing Mary to go visit her relative Elizabeth. Maybe God wants to bring these two women together for just a little while to help them find comfort with each other, inspiration with each other. At this point, they are the only two people in the world, except perhaps Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband. But in that household and Mary, they're the only ones in the world who know what God is up to. The only ones who know that the Messiah, for whom the Jewish people have been waiting for centuries, is about to be born. And maybe God knows they need a little bit of time to be together, to encourage each other and bless each other. And so Mary goes with haste. And I'm sorry, Tate, I don't know if she walked or rode a donkey or a camel, but she went fast. And when she walked into Zechariah's household, I don't know, was she worried about what Elizabeth would say when she told her the truth? At this point, she's so early in her pregnancy, she's not showing. It's not obvious that she's carrying a child. But as soon as she walks in the door, Elizabeth rejoices. The child in Elizabeth's womb, whom we know to be John the Baptist, through the power of the Holy Spirit, leaps for joy, recognizes the child in Mary's womb. And these two women have this beautiful spiritual connection through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, Elizabeth blesses Mary. Mary has nothing to fear from Elizabeth. She is welcomed and embraced and given a safe place to be loved and to be celebrated. So Mary is blessed by Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is blessed by Mary. "How is it," Elizabeth says, "that the mother of my Lord has come to visit me? How did I get to receive this honor that the first person the mother of my Lord comes to see is me?" And so there's this moment of mutual blessing and sharing and comfort. And as I think about this relationship between Elizabeth and Mary, I realize that it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And it is in many ways the very first church. The church is made up of people inspired by the Holy Spirit, who come together from all walks of life, all ages, rich and poor, all across the world, because we've been drawn together as those who proclaim the Messiah has been born, that God is doing something for all humankind through this one called Jesus. That's the beginning of the church. If you think about it, in our day, there are very few places that call together people of different ages, different walks of life. There are very few ways that my children could have relationships with folks who are 40, 50, 60 years older than them. but they got it at church. And in the church, there was mutual blessing between the young and the old. The young teach us about the world that is emerging. They teach us new perspectives on life. The old guide the young and help them put their experiences into perspective, that life won't always be as hard as it is when you're 14. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God blesses us and helps us to see through our relationships with one another what God is doing in the world. So just like Mary and Elizabeth, we gather together as those who know what God is about to do. And we love and support each other and gather in hope. Then the story goes on. After Mary and Elizabeth have greeted one another, Mary breaks out into song. And she begins to sing about how blessed she feels by God and how all future generations will call her blessed. And then she turns from her own blessing to see what God is doing in the world. And through these powerful words of prophecy, she proclaims that God, by choosing her and Elizabeth, by already doing what God has done, God has turned the tables on the world, has lifted up the lowly and brought down the mighty from their thrones, filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty, announcing this incredible reversal and the coming of justice and peace into the world. This 13-year-old girl singing and preaching like a prophet of the justice and peace of God. But you know what's interesting? You know, we don't have any original copies of Luke's gospel. The original copies lost to us. What we have are manuscripts, ancient versions of it that circulated. And some of those ancient manuscripts say that this was Mary's song. But a few of them say it was Elizabeth's song, that it was Elizabeth who sang the Magnificat. Isn't it a beautiful thing to think that this was a song that emerged out of their relationship? That together, as they prayed and as they celebrated what God was doing in each of their lives, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to look out into the world and see what God was doing and to proclaim it together. That sounds like church to me. We come together and we testify to what God is doing in each of our lives. And then as one body with one voice, we look out into the world through different eyes, the eyes of God's justice and peace. And we go forth to proclaim it in whatever ways we are called to do so. And then we come back together for love and support and joy and blessing, and then go back out into the world. It's a beautiful thought to think that Mary and Elizabeth were the very first church. And here we are today, 2,000 years later, still singing their beautiful song. Thanks be to God.
As a people with an ancient song in our hearts, I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we join our voices together and proclaim our faith in our God using this historic affirmation of the Christian faith, the Apostles' Creed, found on 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share any prayers with our pastoral team so that we can pray for them throughout the week, if you're worshiping at home, or if you're here and you choose to do this electronically through our website, you can go to the link Contact Us and leave prayer concerns there. If you are with us in the sanctuary, you can also leave your prayer concerns on one of the gray cards that's located in the pew racks in front of you. And you may deposit those cards in the offering boxes that are in the narthex and also in Reed Hall as you leave this morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Good morning, God. Our prayers rise to meet you as the words of Mary still ring in our ears and resonate in our hearts. We remember that you are indeed our Savior, and you have been faithful and present across generations. As your mercy extends from generation to generation, we pray for our present world. Amid the very real hope of Advent and the promise of your coming to be with us, we continue to live in complicated and fractious times. Help us remember that generations before us have faithfully come through difficult ages. Bring comfort, healing, and renewed promise to our communities, so beleaguered by pandemic and environmental disaster and social unrest and violence. Make us people of love and grace and healing. Shape our demeanors, our beliefs, our values, and our actions to be signs of your saving grace among us. Help us pray with our words, our hearts, our hands, and our feet. Lord of mighty deeds, Mary reminds us that you lift up the humble and fill the hungry with good things. So today we pray for all who find themselves in places of humility and need. We continue to pray for our friends and neighbors in Tennessee and Kentucky and throughout the Southeast who are still in the early stages of cleanup and recovery following the terrible storms and tornadoes just a little over a week ago. We pray for all who were impacted and for those involved in the ongoing response. We pray for our neighbors here in Nashville who are experiencing homelessness and poverty in increasing numbers. We pray for individuals and churches and agencies that seek to bring relief. And we pray for our community leaders as they seek solutions to alleviate the root causes of endemic poverty and lack of housing. We pray for all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for those whose anxieties, worries, troubles, and losses loom large this time of year. We pray for ourselves as we strive in this season to make room in our hearts and our lives for what matters most. We bring these and other prayers that are on our hearts and minds to you in a moment of silent prayer. Our spirit rejoices in you, our Savior and our God, as we pray as Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to simply give as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. And for those of you worshiping in the sanctuary, you may give online as well, or you may leave your offering in one of the boxes that I mentioned before that are in the narthex and in Reed Hall as you leave the service. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
Let the fellowship of Mary and Elizabeth, let their song flow through us into the world. May we, like Mary, say, we are ready. Do with us as you will, O God. And may that commitment give us deep peace. Amen.